Going to read something that Jesus said and then something that James said, and the two are almost identical, very similar. And as we've noted in James, it sounds like it has a feel of a lot of the stuff that Jesus said, a lot of the teaching that Jesus taught. Sometimes it's implied in James, or sometimes it's a reminder in James of what Jesus said, but here, as in other cases, it's explicitly what Jesus said. So, Mark, share with us.
Today's first scripture comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37, and can be found on page 959 of your pew Bible. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Today's second scripture reading comes from James chapter 5, verse 12, and can be found on page 1198 of your pew Bible. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. This is the word of the Lord.
I want to begin by telling you some things I've told you before. It's about James, and what I want to say is kind of warnings. This text, at the end, is about the expectation from God's word that we will be trustworthy people, that we will be people whose word can be taken as truth. When we make a promise, when we make a vow, that we will hold ourselves to it. And people can count on us for that. That's where we're going to get to. We're going to talk about some other things about the text, but that's where we're going to get to. As we go into this, let me remind you, as I said, of things I've told you about James before. This text, like other texts in James, is not about being socially acceptable. It's not about good manners. It's not about being nice. It sounds like that, and in fact, it is sort of about that. That's a consequence. But that's not what it's about. This passage, this instruction from James about being careful about oaths we make or vows we take is about following Jesus Christ. If you want to be an obedient follower of Jesus Christ, it involves doing this. Being a trustworthy person, a person who keeps their promises, a person who is trustworthy. It's about following Jesus. It's also about something else that James has over and over again emphasized. It's about words. It's about being careful with our words. It's about recognizing the damage our words can make. But we know from Scripture generally that we also know and need to value the good our words can do. James, in his letter, over and over again, stresses that words are power, and we can use them in destructive ways. And James says, don't. Here in this passage, it's about the topic of oaths or vows, but it's about words. It's about what we say and to be conscious of that. That's one way the Word of God wants us to be obedient followers of Jesus Christ, to be careful with our words. The specific passage that we're looking at this morning has a specific kind of words, and those words are oaths. It says, well, let's look at some details of the passage. James begins by saying, above all. This is a kind of an interesting use of words. Literally, correctly, it's translated what James says as above all. What's a little weird about it is it makes it sound like, of all the things I've said, this is the most important. Except that he's never mentioned anything about this before in his letter. It's a new topic. So maybe James says above all, because at the end of the passage, he does say, otherwise, if you don't follow what I'm saying, otherwise you will be condemned. And Jesus, when he taught about it, the same topic, said it is something of Satan if you make oaths in ways that are not pleasing to God. So it might be, in fact, that James has in mind above all. I tend to think, as others do, that this is not a priority statement. It's a transition statement. Above all, in the sense of finally or one more thing. Anyway, so he goes on to say, do not swear. When we hear that word swear, in our culture, we tend to think of profanity. Do not use profanity. That's not what James is saying here, but that is what Scripture says about swearing in terms of using profanity. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place. I'm not preaching that text. But don't you find it a little interesting, the language that Paul uses there? Sexual immorality, impurity, greed, they're improper. They don't match with God being God's people. Obscenities, foolish talk, coarse joking, they're out of place. I mean, I think that's worth preaching on. They're wrong, shouldn't be done. But Paul, in that instruction, says, it's out of place. When we use profanity, I mean, if you use profanity, it's wrong. But if the Apostle Paul were standing there, when you're hammering away at something and you hit your thumb with a hammer and you say what comes to mind, he would say, that's out of place. That's out of line. Followers of Jesus Christ don't do that. It's wrong. It's out of line. Or to broaden it, it's not you. That's not who you are. Anyway, when James says do not swear, he does not mean profanity. He's not teaching about that. What he's teaching about are oaths. An oath is defined this way. It is a promise to do or not do something, often invoking God as witness and the one to bring judgment if the promise is not kept. It was common to take oaths to emphasize the seriousness and truthfulness of the promise being made. James says, shouldn't do that. Shouldn't swear or make an oath, but as he puts it, by heaven or by earth or anything else. Why does he say that? Well, first of all, we should recognize that Scripture does allow for some oaths. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 20, fear the Lord, take your oaths in his name. Jesus, when he's before the high priest in his trial, he is asked to swear by the name of God. He does not object. He testifies to his own person. He does not say to the priest, no, I don't do that sort of thing. He does. He takes the oath. He accepts the challenge. Paul, the Apostle Paul, likewise takes oaths. And this one is interesting. Because when I read it to you, and when we look at what James says, it sounds like, Paul, I think you're doing what James said not to do. This is what he says. I call God as my witness, and I stake my life on it, that it was in order to spare you that I did not return to Corinth. That kind of sounds like what James is saying to us not to do. Don't swear. Don't use God as at witness to your truth. There are special circumstances in Paul's statement, in his vow. He has a tough relationship with a church in Corinth. They do not believe him. They say that they believe that he did not come back to visit them because there was a conflict going on and he was afraid of them. He just didn't want to face them. He was cowardly, all of those things. He was weak, all those things. So Paul has to say to them, no, I promise you, I take an oath that I did not come to see you and for your good. Not because I was afraid. Not because you don't believe me, not because you distrust me, but for your sake, I did not come. He uses that forceful language because the circumstances in that situation demand it. He needs to say this in a way they will believe it. Generally, however, James and Scripture and Jesus say, don't take oaths. Especially if you misuse them. James is condemning the practice of insincere, deceitful, unnecessary oaths. I promise. Cross my heart and hope to die. I'll be on time. Do people still say that? Cross my heart and hope to die? Is that something out of my youth? Anyway, that's a vow. That's an oath. And you're calling upon God to bear witness when you do that sort of thing. And James says, believers in Jesus Christ shouldn't do that. They shouldn't have to do that. They should be known as people who speak the truth. Basic lesson. Followers of Jesus should not need oaths as evidence they are being truthful. What sort of applications? A lot of everyday applications. Live an honest life. Be trustworthy. Keep your promises. Parents, keep your promises. Henry, when he our 5-year-old grandson, when he comes to our place as he usually does, Monday through Friday after daycare, almost always walks into the door. And when he's going to Stacy's house, or even when he's going to his dad, he comes in. Are we going out to a dinner in a restaurant? Well, we can't make that promise. But both parents are very careful to say, we can't do that tonight. Or, yeah, we are. Their yes is yes, or their no is no. I have yet to hear them say, well, yeah, sure, with no intent of following that. You know what? Henry remembers promises. Grandpa, you said we go outside and play. When I say that to Henry, he hears that as a vow. He hears that as an oath. In order for him to see me in the way I want him to see me, I need to keep that promise. I need to keep that vow. James, in a simple way, is telling us, keep your promises. Be a person who is willing and able and anxious to keep the promises. Don't make vows. Be such a person that when you say, I'll do it, people can trust you to do it. Be a person who can be relied on. Be careful about your promises, about your vows. I think part of this, practical application of this, is when you can say yes to something, say yes. But when you know you can't say yes, when you're asked to do something and you're pretty sure you can't, don't say yes. Say, I can't. Don't be a person who overcommits. Don't be a person who says yes when they know, you know, I'm not sure I can do that. The Word of God says, don't make false oaths. When you're asked to teach Sunday school, when you're asked to serve in the nursery, I hope when you're asked to usher, when you're asked to come to a work day, when your neighbor asks you to watch their house while they're on vacation, if you can do it, say yes. If you can't, say no. I'm sorry, I can't. Be a person of your word, not only in keeping promises, but being honest in your ability to fulfill a promise. Second, pay your bills. Keep vows you've made to pay your bills. I know things happen. Sometimes bad financial things happen. And you can't. But when you sign up to pay off something, to make payments on something, you are in effect making a promise. People of God should keep promises. Sometimes circumstances happen. I know that. But the general teaching is keep your promises. Understand that your reputation, and if your reputation is on the line, so is, because you're a believer, so is God's. Pay your bills. How about this one? Show up for work on time. You made a promise. You made a promise to your employer to show up for work and to be on time. One of the surprising things I learned some years ago at Goodwill, by the way, I learned this, that when they Goodwill advertises they do job training, basic thing they teach people is be on time. Show up for work. When I hear people talking about looking for good people to work for them in their business or in the company, one of the things they have in mind is, I just need people who will show up. Even better if they're on time. Believers in Jesus Christ should be people that can be counted on to be on time, to show up for work. That, I think, is an application of this instruction from James. Do not swear by heaven or earth. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Be a person who can be trusted. Last thing. do not equivocate. To equivocate means to use deceptive or unclear or evasive language, to be ambiguous, to avoid the truth or avoid committing yourself. I was talking to a friend just recently. He works at a Catholic church, St. Vincent's, down in Kent, I think. He was talking about something about the parish and the priest he works for. And he was saying, you know, I would like him to do something about such and such, about the worship, about the music in the church. But, you know, he's not going to do that. Then he said, you know, you always know where you stand with him, about his supervisor, this priest. You always know where you stand with him. He always tells you the truth. He doesn't equivocate. He doesn't avoid telling you the truth. He always tells you the truth. That's a quality the Word of God honors and respects. It's a quality that James, by implication, is giving to us. People of God, followers of Jesus Christ, should be people that for whom the simple thing is yes or no. They do not equivocate. Remember, well, perhaps you didn't read it. I wrote an article about our 8-year-old granddaughter, Willow, that she speaks the truth because she's an 8-year-old and because she speaks the truth. We went out to the yard to play, and she announced, as she has many other times, that I was slow. Grandpa, you're slow. That did not disqualify me from being a playmate for a while, but nonetheless, she announced I was slow. She spoke the truth to me, her truth to me. She did not equivocate. She did not feel any need to hide the truth. She just spoke it. We need to be kind, considerate, careful with our words, but we need to speak the truth. He always tells the truth. That's something that should be said about believers in Jesus Christ. They tell the truth. They keep their promises. Last application. This is the application. Speak the truth. Let your yes be yes, your no, no. Don't equivocate. Don't equivocate about Jesus. Let your yes be yes about Jesus. When you have occasion, when you have the opportunity to say something about your faith in Jesus Christ, to say something even more generally about your faith in God, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Remember the illustration I gave to the kids when people were walking by and admiring the sunset? One person said to me, "What a great sunset." As I said to the kids, I wish I had said, "Yeah, thanks be to God." Or even if I'd said, amen, by it. But I, if you will, equivocated. Yeah, it is. Great sunset. When I was sinking. Yeah. Thanks be to God. Do not equivocate. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Especially about Jesus. Let's pray. Nope, that's not. I got one more thing to say. if I could equivocate. Having said all that, I want to go back and remind you of something at the very beginning. Because now that I've done this, I feel like I did it. Please remember, this is not merely about being nice. It's not merely about good manners. It's about following Jesus. Now let's pray. Father God, you call upon us to be followers of Jesus Christ because it would bring glory to you and it would be good for us. May we remember that in this matter, as in all matters, in what we say, how we talk, that we will be obedient to you, that we will be trustworthy people, that we will be people that can be relied on because we trust in you, because we believe in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.